Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is so good to be with you for day number 2 of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I want to remind you again, as I said yesterday, we do have these journals. They're just notebooks to write down your thoughts and reflections in. They have our logo on the front, and on the inside of the front and back cover, you can find the Bible reading plan for this year as we go through it one chapter per day. If you want to email the church or write to the church, while supplies last, definitely have limited quantities of these, we'll be happy to send you one if you want to follow along with us. We're beginning a 3-year journey through the Word of God, one chapter per day, and we hope that you can walk with us as we walk with Jesus through the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You alone have the words of eternal life. Your Word is truth, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So speak to us today, O Lord. Speak to us through your Word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's begin our journey through chapter 2 of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished all the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, on the day when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became 4 rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. These first two chapters of Genesis are just so vitally important for us to really understand and to rest our faith in, our understanding of God and His creation, because it really is the beginning of the whole Word of God. The culmination of chapter 1 is the creation of man in the image of God, male and female. And the culmination of chapter 2 is the bringing together of man and woman, male and female, in marriage, which is performed by God. So the pinnacle of God's creation are human beings who bear God's image, male and female. And the pinnacle of this creation of male and female is that they are brought together to make man and wife, to make husband and wife. Let's just walk through a few things here from chapter 2. First of all, we see that creation ends with the creation of the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. So while the culmination of the outward physical creation that God created was man made in His image, the creation week culminates in the creation of rest, which is given to man. You see, man already exists, and so God rests from His labor, makes this day holy, and gives it to man as a pattern for his rest. This is what we call the creation Sabbath, which is distinct from the Lord's Day, the resurrection Sabbath, which is a looking forward to the day of the Lord and the new creation, and we celebrate it on the day when Jesus rose from the dead. But beginning at creation, up until the resurrection of Jesus, it was the last day of the week in which we rested to look back on God's finished work of creation. Now we rest on the first day and we worship to look ahead to the eternal rest that's coming in the day of the Lord. But when God made the world, notice how He gives us specific geographical references to where these things are. Where is the Garden of Eden? And some of these rivers that are mentioned here, they changed because of the flood that's going to come later, starting in chapter 6. But there were four very real rivers, and they flowed out of Eden, and they watered the garden of the Lord. So there's Eden, and then there's the garden of the Lord. There was a garden in Eden. So Eden is where God dwelled with man, and there was a garden there. And it's a very real place, and it was a good place. There was just pleasant things, things that were good for food, looking in verse 9. And then you have the tree of life, which gives life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God did give Adam a command. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Notice how good and gracious God is. You can have every tree. All the trees. Enjoy them all. They're yours. They're for you. Enjoy. They are good for food. They're pleasant to the sight. And yet, He says, this one tree, because it will harm you, because it will bring tragic consequences, don't eat it. God is testing Adam. He wants to know if Adam will remain loyal to God. We'll get to that in the next chapter. But then God says, for the first time prior to the fall, the only time prior to the fall, God says something is not good. We had throughout chapter 1, it is good, 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 very good. But here we're kind of in the middle of day 6, right? Before Adam and Eve were created, after the animals were created. Well, Adam was created before Eve, right? Before Eve was created, after the animals were created, Adam had been created. And God says, it is not good. It is not good that the man, Adam, should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now, some people kick at this expression and say, oh, what, did God make Eve just to be a servant to Adam, a helper fit for him? What, is she supposed to just bring him the paper and put on his slippers and light his pipe and make his dinner and all this kind of old Ozzie and Harriet stuff? That is not the picture that is here. You know who in the Old Testament is most frequently given the title of helper? Is God Himself. God is Israel's helper. God is our helper. We trust in Him and we are not afraid. So in all the Hebrew Bible and all the Hebrew scriptures, the one person who's most often given the title of helper is God. So this is not a demeaning title. She completes him. They are together made in the image of God. It's not good for him to be alone. He needs one like himself to finish him, complete him, make him what he's supposed to be, and so that together they reflect the image of God in their marriage. And just jumping ahead because of time, Adam, when he first sees Eve, of course, he is really excited. None of the animals are going to do it. None of the animals are good enough. So God does not speak Eve into existence like he did with the animals. He doesn't make Eve out of the dust of the earth as he did with Adam. Rather, he takes a rib from Adam's side. And Matthew Henry, whose big commentary is right back here, Matthew Henry in his commentary is a beautiful way of expressing this. He says, God took Adam from a rib. God took Eve from a rib from Adam's side, not from his head that she should lord over him, nor from his feet that she should be trampled on by him, but out of his side that she should be equal to him and close to his heart that she should be loved by him. So there's an equality and there's an intimacy in the creation of man and woman. And he says, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. And then we have this great statement of marriage. The first wedding was performed by God himself. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the old King James would say, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Leaving and cleaving. You set aside your family of origin and you form a new family with your spouse, and that is the most important relationship in a married person's life, is the relationship with your spouse. And what a beautiful picture. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That's not going to last, sadly, but we leave Adam and Eve in a very good place at the end of this day. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank you for the goodness of your creation. Thank you for making us male and female. Thank you for creating marriage between man and woman to complete us in your image. We know that our marriages are affected by sin, like all creation is. But we thank you that our marriages are good and right and beautiful in your created purpose for them. Help us to live out the beauty and the goodness that you intend in our marriage relationships today. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One last thing to say, and that is, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, which we'll get there eventually, year 3 sometime, that the real purpose of this marriage is to create a picture of God's relationship with his bride, the church. And so, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And that is a great, high, and holy calling for us to remember in our marriage lives. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm so happy that you're with us. Hope you'll come back again tomorrow as we continue walking with Jesus through the Word. Have a blessed day in the Lord.